Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 17th, 2006. Today's session is entitled Homeless in America, presented by Verlon Brown, number BRV 2006-01. Let's listen in.
Card and read the card, and then if you can't read it either because of my spelling or because of my writing, let me know and I'll tell you what it says. But take one and pass the rest around. And I need those back, so, you know, take care of them. Don't pick them. It's dangerous. You don't get a choice.
Pick a card.
Emily's coming, I know.
Need more chairs?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Okay, so what I want you to do is to stand up and read your card so we know who we're dealing with. All right? Start with you.
Widow.
Sexually abused as a child, worked in the sex industry, got hooked on coke and alcohol, addicted to crack and alcohol.
Age 78, dementia, alcoholic.
I was abused by my mom and her sisters when I was at 16, started using meth at 15. Now I'm a 30-year-old heroin addict.
Age 36, grew up in an upper-middle-class home in Minnesota. Was a very successful used car salesman. Alcoholic, drank until everything was gone.
Lack of health care support.
I've been bipolar since I was 19. Both my parents are dead and my relatives are afraid of me because I can get violent. Now I'm a 27-year-old alcoholic.
Grew up poor with a mom on welfare, got in trouble as a teen, went to jail for 10 years. Now I'm a felon and can't find work or housing. I'm a heroin addict.
I was raised by my father. I started drinking at 17. I'm a musician and an auto mechanic with old school skills. Most people like me, but I'm not very smart at all. I'm an alcoholic with a prison record.
Posting warrant for felony.
I started showing signs of schizophrenia at age 22. I started drinking at 17. Now I'm a full-blown alcoholic with schizophrenia.
I was physically abused by my father when I was a child. He went to prison for murder when I was 13. I started drinking at 12. Left home at 14. I am a violent alcoholic and a felon.
I was sexually abused at 7 by my mother's boyfriend. I started prostituting at 13. Now I'm a 30-year-old crack addict.
I grew up in a large, intact family. I'm the youngest of 12. I started drinking at 12. I suffered from narcissism and bipolar. I am an alcoholic.
I grew up in a series of foster homes. I started drinking at 12 and heroin and pot at 14. I lost my sight at 17. I've been in and out of jail since 19 for various types of assault.
My mother was a hippie, and me and my six siblings grew up in an abandoned school bus. I was kicked out of school at 16
and I've been on the street since. I'm a 54-year-old alcoholic.
My mother and my aunt started giving me beer to drink when I was 4 or 5 because I could dance really good, and they thought that was cute. Now I'm a 45-year-old alcoholic.
I was born legally blind, less than 10% normal vision. I didn't do well at school because of my blindness and my inability to learn good social skills. I'm a 60-year-old alcoholic.
I grew up in several foster homes. I started drinking at 13. I have an antisocial personality disorder.
I grew up with my homeless mother on the streets. I'm an alcoholic and have delusions of grandeur.
Eviction. I was raised by my grandparents. They both were dead by the time I was 16. After that, I was on my own. I suffered some head trauma after being beaten up by the cops. I am 32 years old, alcoholic, and diagnosed paranoia.
Developmentally delayed 46-year-old alcoholic.
I grew up in a good, intact family, went to Vietnam. Now I am a 56-year-old alcoholic with PTSD.
Went to jail at 17. I never knew my parents. I was raised by an aunt. Now I'm a felon. I can't find work, so I slim dope. I'm a 41-year-old heroin addict.
I used to be in the automotive industry. My union got busted in the 80s when I was in my 30s. I ended up on the streets. Now I'm a 54-year-old alcoholic dope slinger.
I grew up in a large family with both parents who were both alcoholic. I was in a car accident when I was drinking. Now I'm an alcoholic with brain damage at 49 years old.
I'm depressed. I'm an alcoholic. I've been an alcoholic since age 14.
Physical disability, can't work, started drinking at 17. Now I'm a 37-year-old alcoholic.
I'm leaving prison.
Lack of job skills.
Habitually angry at white people for taking the land, screwing people of color over, keeping the money, can't function. I'm society weed head alcoholic.
Is it weed head? Suicidal? It should be suicidal, but I can't. Oh, it's okay. Can't function in society.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike.
17-year-old meth addict, runaway.
Age 51, alcoholic.
Has green card, was a child soldier in North Africa, PTSD, alcoholic.
Okay, age 48, addicted to pills, alcohol, heroin.
Gang members.
Sorry about that.
Got kicked out of mom's house at age 17, addicted to chronic whatever.
Poor physical health. As a child, I didn't attend school regularly. I dropped out in 9th grade, started drinking and running the streets, alcoholic.
Now. I started sneaking alcohol from my parents' liquor cabinet at age 12. I was getting drunk on a regular basis at 15. Today I'm a 35-year-old alcoholic with no skills.
My parents divorced when I was 9. I bounced back and forth between the two, got into street life at 13, started using meth at 14. Now I'm a 26-year-old homeless meth addict.
I'm Huntington, Korea. I started drinking in high school with friends, and I'm an alcoholic.
Antisocial behavior, crack addict since 15.
Okay, did everybody read?
I got one.
Oh!
Developmentally disabled alcoholic.
All right. So this is who you are, these things that you've read. So this is your life, all right? So now, what we're going to do is, somebody can help me equally distribute this amongst you all. Okay, come on. Help me out. No eating it. Stealing. Jacking is beating somebody up. So that means you jack somebody up, you beat them up, you rob them, or just rob them in general and take their money. Dirty legging, do I need to explain that?
Yeah.
Go do it.
Dirty legging is just prostitution. Mm-hmm. You know, if you prostitute, you're called a dirty leg. So those are your jobs that you can choose from. In order to get more candy. All right?
Oh, yeah.
So, what I want you to do is to now pass these around.
Do we get to pick or just...
No. Okay, so you people who came in, we're out of cards, so you're all going to be...
Boosted.
you're all going to be bipolar. All right? That's who you are. All right? Are we out of cards? Where did the cards go?
There's some more cards.
All right. Is that it? Here you go. This is what happens to you with less your cards. All right. So I need starting with you. What are you? What does your card say?
It says transitional housing.
Woo! You scored.
Yeah. All right.
So hold on a minute. You scored. How about you?
I didn't do so well. I've got hoochie dirty legging.
Okay, so what I want you to do, since you're new at Hoochie, new at being a dirty leg, you're new on the block. That means nobody knows who you are. You know, you're a new commodity. So you go around and collect a piece of candy from everybody. Oh! So everybody give her a piece of candy. She's
catch-22 of being homeless because my first card is at work injuries, so I'm disabled from an on-the-job injury, and the card I got was day labor.
Day labor?
How am I going to do day labor?
So you go around and you get 4 pieces of candy. All right? So give this man, here's a cup. Get 4 pieces of candy. What are you? No, you in jail. Here, throw your candy on the table and go stand over there. You're in jail. How about you?
Well, I'm selling real change.
Oh, you're selling real change. That's good.
Wait.
I want you to go to her and this man here and this woman here and get a piece of candy.
I don't want that either.
That means he makes money. Real Change sells newspapers. The homeless
newspaper.
Oh, he
works for Real Change. Real Change.
All right, Katie.
You got into transitional housing.
Woo, you scored. So you go around and you get candy all the way up to Netter. Because she gets into housing, so she gets some. How about you, Peggy? What did you get?
GAX, $339 plus medical coupon.
Woo, you scored. I want you to go over this way and get a piece of candy from, I'll say, this person. How about you?
Social Security.
Woo! You scored.
I think we're at 11.
No, I think we're at 11.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
All right. I want you to get candy. Who still has candy left? Raise your hand. I want you to get candy from those 4 people right there.
From where?
Those 4 people right there.
See, you score.
I want you to get candy from these 4 people right here.
All right.
Are you out?
I'm out.
Who's out? Who's got candy?
I've got candy.
Get candy from 4 people. Period. Yeah. How about you? Where are you getting candy? Girlfriend
or boyfriend got housing.
Say that again. We didn't hear you.
Girlfriend or boyfriend got housing. I can stay there 3 nights a week.
Good. You can get 2 pieces of candy. Raise your hand if you got candy. Go get 2 pieces of candy.
I got into a shelter for people over 50.
Oh, good. You're good to go. So you get 5 pieces of candy. Who's got candy?
Who's got candy?
So go over and get 5 pieces of candy from who's got their hand up.
Go get the rich candy.
Treatment. Oh, you got into treatment.
Yeah.
Good. You go get 2 pieces of candy. Who's got candy? Raise your hand. All right. Okay. How about you?
See where we're going.
Fight for it.
Psych ward.
Right.
Do you have any candy left?
No.
Good. you go stand over there.
You don't get the candy. Oh boy.
Bless your heart. How about you? You're panhandling. I want you to take a cup and go around and ask everybody for candy. And you can give it to her if you want to. If you don't, you don't have to. Okay. There you go. Look pathetic. Ask for. How about you?
Jack. Oh, boy. I knew that when I saw you come in.
I can tell you the time.
Yeah.
So, who's got candy left? Who got a bunch of candy?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Come over here and jack this woman and this one. Give him 3 pieces of candy. Yes, sir. Wow.
Harborview.
Too bad. You got any candy left?
No.
Good. Go stand over there with them.
What's Harborview?
The hospital. How about you? Nursing home story. Good. Go stand over there.
You're good.
How about you?
You're good, huh?
Oscar stolen ID.
Oscar stolen ID. What can I do with you?
Wait a minute, Corn.
I was arrested for having too many warrants.
Over there with him, jail.
Do not collect any candy.
That's my wife. How about you? Oh, bless your heart. Do you have a kidney?
What?
Oh, good. Go stand over there.
Andrea, can you repeat that? How did you?
I had abscesses from needles.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
She's
kind
of crowded over here.
Yeah. Jail is crowded.
All right, how about you?
I've got beat up by the cops.
Oh! You got any games left?
No.
No, we'll just do that. Or you just stay here. How about you?
I didn't get a card.
Okay, so you're with the...
She was with the bipolar.
Bipolar.
Okay,
so do you have any candy?
I do now.
Oh, there's nothing we can do. Okay.
Stay right here.
Just stay right there.
Okay.
How are you?
I have infectious disease.
Boosting! Woohoo! Stand up. Who's got candy left? Who's got bunches?
Oh.
Candy. I do.
Right
get three pieces. Get three pieces from her and three pieces from her. Who's next?
I have a bunch of detox.
Huh? Oh, well, that's good.
Wait, Jack, what was yours?
Detox.
Detox.
How about
you? Bye, Jack.
No card.
No card, no candy.
No.
Oh, you're right. Let's say you got a little treat. Go get three pieces of candy. Who's got candy? Raise your hand.
Candy does.
I will leave her alone. Why don't you go get three pieces of candy from somebody over there? Who's next?
You.
I have end-stage
liver
disease. Do you have any candy left?
Oh,
good. You just stay right there. You stay right there with the rest of them. How about you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you got any candy left?
No. Nope.
Good. We'll stay right there with the rest of them. How about you?
I was hit by a car.
Oh, you
oh
have
my
any candy left? Give me.
No candy for you.
No candy for you. You're over here in the hospital and the jail and the detox and everybody else. How about you?
I lost my housing because too much drinking.
Oh, you have any candy left?
No.
Oh, well, stay right there. How about you?
Not very smart, not very big. Got bullied into giving this guy my money.
Oh. You got anything?
Nothing.
Okay, at least stay that way. How about you?
I have lice.
Do you have any candy? Oh, we'll go over here to the hospital. How about you?
I got Reds.
You got what?
Reds.
Oh, okay. You got any candy?
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, go to the hospital.
Right.
How about you?
I got hit by a bus.
Oh. Candy? No candy for
me. Crazy metro drivers.
Go to the hospital. How about you?
Banned from social services because of antisocial behavior.
Oh. You got any candy left?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, stay right there. How about you?
I have a cosmetic with disease.
No, but what happened?
Disease.
Oh, you got disease. You got any candy?
One candy.
Go to the hospital. How about you, Desmond? No candy, go to jail. How about hospital, jail, it's all the same.
I fell off a freeway overpass.
Oh.
I might be dead.
You got any candy?
No.
Oh.
You probably dead.
Well, you should go over there with them. Oh.
It's a mortuary.
How about you, Ron?
Rust pipe in your toe.
Oh, you have any candy?
I could have, I think so.
Well, then you need to go over to the hospital with them.
Oh, boy.
How about you, man?
TB.
TV.
Hospital. With the lights and the crazy people and three pieces of candy amongst them. Oh, what did he have? What did you have?
All right, permanent housing. Who's got candy left? There's a lot of missing candy for there only to be one piece on this table.
Look at him long.
How many? Oh, she's got a whole.
I have a panhandler on. Look at
that. All right, go over here and take half her candy.
Oh.
She got permanent housing.
You're going to have to. You've got what?
Permanent housing.
How about you?
I got a little bit.
You got any candy?
Not a bit.
All right. $1.50. There you go. How about you?
50 cents in the payphone.
Woo! That's good. Here, give her a piece of. How about you?
SSI, 539.
Oh, that's really good. Wow. Who's got bunches? You?
I only have like 5 or 6.
Oh! Go take 3 from her. How about you, ma'am?
GAU,
$3.39
a month.
You scored. Take 5 from her.
What's GAU?
That's
General Assistance.
General Assistance.
Oh.
$3.39. Who's, how about you, Red?
$100 panhandling.
Woo! Wow. That's good. Give me a piece of your candy. A couple of pieces of your candy.
That's 40.
How about you?
Oh, transitional housing.
We started with him.
Yeah. Oh, we started with him. Okay.
What about Mark?
Oh, did we
get him here, Mark? He's bipolar.
You're bipolar. What happens to you? And let's see. Did I hear you call? Oh, she's sick. Give me all your candy and go over to the hospital. I think she's sick. Something. That's what happens. What are you?
I got into a shelter for people over 50.
No. What are you? The white cards now, or the blue cards?
Oh,
what
I'm sorry.
You?
I grew up with my homeless mother on the streets, and now I'm an alcoholic and have illusions of grandeur.
Oh, well, give me your candy.
Oh,
it's not real.
I hit.
It's
not real. But I thought I at least had 30 pieces.
Let's see.
Hey, a pro bono attorney took my case.
And you get some pen. There you go. All right. Let's see. What happened to you?
I was bipolar.
Oh, you're bipolar?
Still?
Yeah. Well, come out and you'll get into mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. So you get some candy.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to leave you.
All of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't just pick out the dark one.
All right. All right, maybe we'll put here. All right, turn in your cards, and you can have the candy. Give the candy to the food.
And you can have the candy.
So let's talk about that.
That was a disaster.
Yes, we'll get to this right now.
What did people notice?
There was a common theme of alcoholism. And it seemed to be a common theme of alcoholism.
A lot of alcoholism. Right. What else did people notice?
That quarter was really important.
So is King County Jail.
Yeah.
What else did people notice?
Panhandling and dirty legging seem to be the most lucrative of the.
But it didn't work out in the end.
No, well.
Well, yeah, that's why people turn to dirty legging, because it does pay. You know, and if you just take a chance. Panhandling can pay if you got a good shtick. Good corner.
We need to learn from you. Had a good corner.
Perlon, what's a good shtick?
I knew this woman who had a sign that said, leaving Seattle need money. And she didn't really get much money. And then she said she figured out the people in Seattle love Seattle. So she said she changed the sign, living in Seattle need money for housing, and started getting money. I used to, every now and then I still do if I'm in a good mood, I go around and critique people's signs. And if you're standing there with a sign, some guys are standing there with a sign that's like written in ink. Who's going to see that? You know? So you need a sign that's written in magic marker, thick magic marker, so people can see it. You need a legible sign. You need a sign that's quick and pithy, like will work for food and that kind of stuff.
Those are scams?
Huh?
Those are scams?
Some of them are scams. I would guess that 95% of the homeless people you see asking for money are using it for drugs and alcohol. But most people are using their money for drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. whether they're homeless or not. You know. And sometimes they use the money to buy stuff that they want, like a McDonald's meal, or you know, something that they don't want to get used, you know, from secondhand places. So I wouldn't write it off. I tell people if they want to give homeless people money, it's not about them, it's about you.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to give, give. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. Anything else people notice?
What? Does putting God bless on your sign help?
It can. I don't know how much it helps in the Northwest.
God bless.
I think there's lots of
units. The nun zone, you mean?
Yeah. But you know, it depends. I'm not sure if that helps.
I just wonder if you see that every once in a while.
Well, if you see it, it must be working. You know, if you see it more than once, it must be working.
One thing I noticed was none of the sort of people who got a break got it from family or friends or a church. I mean, it was like you got a government subsidy, or maybe you got, but it just struck me. There's no break.
Well, there's no, other than a meal, I'm not sure what kind of a break you can get from most churches.
Yeah, or families. You
know. Well, and most homeless people, because of their alcoholism or because of their mental illness, have been cut off from their family. You know? So that's why on the streets they have what they call their road dogs. You know, guys who hang together and watch each other's backs. You know, that becomes their family. So. Anything else people notice?
Very large prevalence of mental disease. It seemed kind of arbitrary. You signed all the people over there, you're all bipolar, but it was a big chunk.
Bipolar is kind of a catch-all thing, they just drop it on everybody that they can't figure out what the deal is. But there is a lot of mental illness on the streets. A lot of people, you know, like they said on any given day, 80% of the people in King County Jail are mentally ill. It's they say it's the largest mentally ill facility in King County. You know, so
in Seattle.
And so, you know, that's where we stand our mentally ill now is the jail. Yep.
A lot of these things seem to happen when they were young children. They started out wrong foot. Parents abused them, or just started off on the wrong foot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. A lot of this stuff starts very early. It's not something like you lose your job and you become homeless. That does happen. But generally, those people, if they were working and they lose their job and become homeless, it's kind of a dip. They may be homeless for 6 months or so, but then they figure out a way to get out of that and move on to something else. Most chronically homeless people, the people who stay homeless, is from conditions that happened years ago. And I might say through no fault of their own. It's just the bad, you know, the luck of the draw.
It all seems so random. And so the consequences were just doled out for no reason, it seemed like.
And that's the way it is. I mean, you know, who determines who gets bipolar? You know, and who determined who becomes
sick? And even what was done with them once we knew what was wrong, we still sent them to jail, sent them to the hospital. It seems so random, too.
Yeah, that's true. It is random. I mean, people are just out there, and things happen. You know, they drink a little too much, fall off the overpass, get hit by a car. For those of you who don't know, I mean, if you walk, walking is treacherous now. I mean, people just, you know, are turning on, you know, the walkway says walk, and people are turning into it, and, you know, it's just, I don't know what's up with driving, but, you know, I bet you 60 to 70% of the homeless people that I've worked with have been hit by cars.
Yeah, if you spend that much time as a pedestrian, there are so many drivers who turn without signaling or signal and then don't turn, that it really ups your chances. I mean, if you're out on the streets that much.
Yeah, and then combine that with being loaded, and you know, your chances go up substantially. Did anyone notice anything else? Okay, my next question is so.
Oh, one thing I noticed is there were so many people with mental illness and alcoholism and all kinds of things that are somewhat treatable, but so few subsidies and you know, helping hands to go around.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason why it seems so random. Who gets that? Who doesn't? It's just so little to go around. It's frustrating how many more people needed the Social Security, you know, having all kinds of helping hands that didn't get them.
I'm only going to say this once. I don't think I have to say it but once. But this current administration, you know, so much of our money is going to Homeland Security. The crime is up. Money is being taken away from social services, Section 8 housing for low-income people, about a fourth of that has been cut. So everything is shrinking. Nothing is growing. And so with everything shrinking, more and more people are having, you know, these conditions and are coming out and are not being served. So that's kind of, you know, that's how it's going. When the money gets taken away, these people suffer.
I didn't hear a lot. Well, I heard one about a veteran. I guess I'm sensitive to the veterans. Our vets coming from Iraq now.
Lots of veterans.
Yeah, you see a lot of that.
But I haven't seen any yet from from
Iraq.
I haven't seen that yet. But there's still tons of older Vietnam vets and some, what was that other word?
Korea.
Well, yeah, some from Korea. Yeah, the first Gulf. I'm beginning to see some from that as well. I was watching this thing on TV once, and this man, it was a documentary on panhandling, and this man was saying how he had a sign that said Korean vet, please help. And he couldn't get any money, and he realized that the Korean conflict, as it was called then, was not a sexy war. Whereas so he changed it to Vietnam vet, and he started getting more money. So it does make a difference. Signage makes a difference when you're panhandling. It really is a shtick. You have to figure out what will make people give money. And sometimes I know people who won't give money to people with dogs. Because they say, what are they doing with a dog? They can't feed themselves. How are they going to take care of a dog? Yet, for a lot of homeless people, especially young runaways, they love to have dogs, with them, because they need all the protection that they can get. Okay, so how did this exercise make people feel? Did people feel anything in particular?
Hopeless.
Hopeless. Out of control. All right.
It was easy to laugh about it in here, but it definitely brought up all the frustration and helplessness in the back of the mind.
It's kind of. I felt a little ashamed reading my card. This is who I am.
I felt if I was with some of those people, I'd feel good.
Well,
the ones I was with.
Or in jail.
In jail.
Well, whether I'm in jail or in the hospital or in the.
But that was a better deal.
Better deal than being alone.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
This goes back a little ways, but I don't know how many years ago it was when they closed the mental institutions in our state. That's when they began to see people on the street, more people on the street. But I'm glad we're still alive.
Was that as far back as the late 60s or 70s?
I imagine it was. There were a number of institutions for homeless. Mentally ill people. Women didn't see the way, but they were around. And they were being treated also. But there wasn't enough money, I guess. I don't know.
It was the mid-70s.
Was it that late?
You know how much it costs to stay at Western State, which is one of the largest, per day, one person, is almost 500 now.
Wow.
You multiply that by 1,000, which they've had, and then multiply that by 365 days, then you see how the economics comes out.
And then, they won't take you to Western State unless you are harm to yourself or harm to society.
Right.
And we see people all the time who are definitely a harm to themselves, And so, but the MPs come out, and the mental health people, MHPs, come out and determine whether somebody is a harm to themselves or a harm to society. And it's very, very difficult to get both. And it's got to be both. Solutions. What do you think solutions should be?
Candy.
Worked here. who has an idea what solutions?
I was going to say, invest in kids. Go early.
Absolutely. Most of these people were neglected and abused kids, not through any fault of their own. People being raised by older grandparents who don't have the patience or the know-how anymore, distant relatives, you know, hopping from foster home to foster home. All of that stuff is involved in homelessness when you get into people's lives. All of that stuff goes on. Anyone else? Ideas about solutions?
More of the transitional homing or home programs or low-income housing programs?
Affordable housing, for sure. You know, there are places now that if a person is on GAU or general assistance or any kind of Social Security or SSI, Supplemental Security Income, they get like $500 a month, and some people get $349. Whatever you get, there are places where you can stay for a third of that, because they figure the average person pays a third of their income for housing. And so there are people, if they get as little as $120 a month, I know a guy who gets $120 a month from the VA, he can get a place and just pay a third of his income and live in that housing. So affordable housing is a big one. My job, I work with people, and I get them off the streets and into housing, and we follow them through housing. So people who have been on the streets for years, who get into housing, we don't just dump them and say, okay, you got a house, you got a place to stay, we'll move on to somebody else. Because that just doesn't work. You know, I had a guy who lived under a bridge for 10 or 15 years. And I had to coax him and trick him into getting into housing. He did not want to go into housing. So I had to do all these maneuvers to try to get him into housing. So I finally got him into housing. And after being there a couple of days, one night, he had to go to the bathroom. He got up, walked to the corner of his apartment, and relieved himself. And it's like, you know, when people are used to being out, like that, there's a learning process. And so my job is to hang in there with them and do what needs to happen to keep people in housing. And there are 12 of us who do what I do in all of King County. Mm-hmm. You know. So in our program, which turned 10 years in July, is still considered innovative. Most places still aren't doing anything like that. I work through Healthcare for the Homeless, and their motto is housing is treatment. Mm-hmm. And we do this thing that we call harm reduction, which is not abstinence. We don't demand that people be abstinent. We don't demand that they go into treatment. We say that if a person gets into housing, chances are they will drink. If they're drinking 7 days a week, chances are they'll drink 5 days a week. And generally, that's what happens. Especially if we give them cable. Cable is this wonderful thing. You get people in the housing, you get them cable, and they don't go out so much. You know? They stay home. They start watching baseball. You know, they start watching stuff, that they like. And so, so, you know, that's part of it. Yeah.
You talked about, treatment, a lot of these things, substance abuse, and while they're not necessarily curable, they are treatable, and a person can function instead of just being sloppy drunk. But how do you get the people willingly? We talked about the money not being available, too, for these programs. Assuming the money is there and these programs exist, what success rate is there of getting people to actually go to these programs? So they recognize the problem and say, yeah, treatment's available, I'll go.
There are places that help people get into treatment. But these people are what you call chronic, a lot of them. And they used to term it chronic public inebriates. And I have a client who's been to treatment 27 times. you know. And at some point, the state just says 27 times, you know, that's too much, you know. But if you pay attention to AA, AA says, you know, one of those times, you know, just keep going. I mean, one of those times, it may click. I have a number of clients who, for some reason, that's sort of unbeknownst to me, they've decided on their own to quit, and they quit, you know. So, but to answer your question, yes, we get people into treatment. There is money to get people into treatment, although that's drying up too, and they have all these hoops. And one thing about homeless people is that they're not, from the start, they're not the smartest people in the world. They are oftentimes the people who are developmentally delayed or this close to it, you know, and they especially don't get bureaucracies, you know. And so to walk into a place and be told to take a number and wait, yeah, they'll wait for maybe 20 minutes, but they got to have a smoke. So they go out, have a smoke, meet a buddy, you know, they're gone, you know. So part of my job is to walk people through the bureaucracy, to go to the welfare office and sit with them, make conversation, listen to their stories, where we sit there an hour and a half. And then we go over, when they call our name, we go over, they give us something to fill out. I sit there and make sure it's filled out. You know, to give our clients something and say, fill that out, a homeless guy something, and say, fill that out, that's ridiculous. You know, so I sit there and I fill it out with him. We turn it in, we sit some more. He tells me his story. Oftentimes, it's the same story over and over again. You know, so he tells me his story. And then we go and we get what we need. We get an appointment, or we get a treatment bed, or you know, whatever we need. And that's, you know, that's how it goes. People need to be walked through the bureaucracy. None of my clients understand computers. You know, the closest they get is, oh, isn't my name on that damn computer somewhere? You know, and they talk about computers like it's a conspiracy. They got all these computers out there, and they know where I'm going, you know, all of that sort of thing. So there's a real disconnect there between homelessness and what actually goes on to get people into treatment and into housing.
Describe some successful outcomes. Were those on the cards the most to be, I mean, some of these people, the success stories that you've seen, where do they end up? And what is a success? What is
getting a person in a nursing home can be a success. A person getting VA can be a success. A person getting SSI, GAU can be, because people aren't handing these people SSI, GAU. You got to go, you got to sit, you got to fill out the paperwork, you got to make another appointment. And to have a client to work through all of that and actually get that, you know, that's a success. And then we start with the housing. Then we start with the payee. A payee is somebody who takes responsibility for a client's money, sits down and budgets it with them, and doesn't allow the client to take the money out all at once. You know, so there are places around the city that are payee ships. And for $27 a month, what they do is when the client's check comes, they take that check, and then they give it to the client as the client has agreed that they want it. You know, $100 a week, $50 every other day, whatever, you know, what's best. And these people also will pay your rent, so the client won't drink their money away. So if you live in, say, Plymouth housing, and your rent is $170 a month, this place will take that $170 right off the top, send it to Plymouth, and that person's rent will be paid. But a lot of these homeless people are not people, you know, they're not taking responsibility, as we would put it. You know, they're coming to me, or they're coming to another agency and say, you know, say something like, I got a letter saying they're going to cut my TV off. So that means that I have to call the TV place, the cable company, and say, what's going on? What happened? How much do we owe you? When do you want it? You know, that kind of stuff that these people are not capable of doing. Number one, because oftentimes these are not the smart people in society. These are the weakest people, the slowest people in society. What's our theme? I am with you always. Is that our theme for the summer? Mm-hmm. You know, I think about that with these people. Who's with these people always? You know, and oftentimes that I, you know, we say God, but God works through us. Mm-hmm. And that I is us. That I is people like, you know, who work with these people and who are willing to walk these people through various bureaucracies.
Has it been tried and proven somewhat successful and not successful to, as you say, like with the cable company thing, situation, to maybe do like role playing with them, have somebody sit there and have them do the talking, but get fed the narrative to the cable company so that they can actually learn that, and maybe if that's the only thing they ever learn, if somebody else in their building needs that, they can say, hey, I know this much about it, and let me show you.
Well, that's assuming that the person on the other line, you know, has a social service degree. You know, oftentimes the person on the other line is, you know, some 18 to 19 year old who just wants to get to the next person, you know. And our clients, I can understand my client when he's drunk. I can sit there and work through what needs to be worked through when he's a little tipsy. You know, I know what he means if he says the same thing over and over again. But you get somebody on the phone, and they're going, what's wrong with my cable? Is this not on? You know, well, who's going to put up with that? You know, so no, I don't think that's worked. I mean, I've certainly tried. We've all tried. But consistently it doesn't work.
How does a 15-year-old addict who is homeless get money to buy crack or whatever?
Very good. That's how I do it. That's
a boy?
Boys too. You know, it's not about sex. It's about the money. You know. So yeah, boys do it too. Yeah. Or the jacket, or the loosening, or usually a combination of all of them, whatever it takes. So,
we have a one success story that I can report is we have a project in Little Rock, Arkansas called Our House, and it's been in operation for about 15 years. It doesn't deal with every level of homelessness by any means, but it's a place where the homeless come and are taken in and provided a place to live. It's a 6 to 8 week program, and it involves job training. It involves the kind of money management that you're talking about, and there's a computer section that does computer job training, and whatever the people need to get themselves set up once they leave. When they're ready to go at the end of the 6 to 8 weeks, what they have is a bank account. The Our House staff finds the housing, puts them in the housing, and they have jobs because they all work. There's an extensive network. And the really successful and exciting thing about this project for me has always been the fact that it's not government funded. It's not agency funded. It's funded primarily by individual contributions, primarily through the churches of Little Rock, so that the churches, at least in this small segment, take that mandate to work with the hungry and to work with the homeless very, very seriously. And many of the churches will cook dinner 2 or 3, 4 times a month. Our church does it 1 time a month, so we get to go and cook and feed the people who are in our house. And they had a very small place downtown. They just moved to a place that will house 70 to 80 individuals now, which is not a huge proportion of the homeless, but it's a new place, and their training facilities have been just about doubled in size. So it's been a real success for us, and mostly because it hasn't been. Now, there are grants that, you know, the organization applies for grants, but they haven't been so dependent on federal money and on whatever the administration in Washington chooses to do. Instead, they've been very good about mobilizing the churches and allowing the churches to provide the kind of financial support and the sort of people and work support.
Well, that, you know,
one for about 15 years.
That's wonderful.
Good. It's a very good program.
But I'm sure every city could use about 10 of those.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we need two or three more.
And the people I work with are people who are never going to be able to work for a living. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about the weakest, most difficult, most disadvantaged people. You know, the idea of them going to work is just not going to happen. You know, and who was it? I can't think of his name now because I'm old, but he said that you can tell a society by how it treats the least. In that, so was that not Mandela?
Was
Gandhi?
Maybe it was Gandhi.
Yeah, it was Gandhi. that's who, you know, we work with, and those people are out there. Those, and I'm not saying that the people you work with don't need help, because they do, but those other people who are never going to work, they're out there. And we need to take care of
it. So is there a solution, though? I guess you asked, you posed the question to us, but you, having worked with homeless and everything, are there any solutions? Or?
Yeah, affordable housing, livable wages for people like in a program like yours who need to work for, you know, livable wages. And if you're making a livable wage, if you're living in affordable housing, you can afford to look after the children. You know.